Stay tuned for Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.
Pastor Scott Lucky of First Presbyterian Church in Jacksonville, Florida, has a message from God's Word that will encourage and inspire you today. And now, here's Pastor Scott.
As is my custom, during the Thanksgiving season for the 20-plus years I've been a minister of the gospel, I have shared with the congregations I've served these words from 1623, long before any of us were around. They come from William Bradford, the governor of the Plymouth Colony, and he said this 3 years after the pilgrims landed at Pilgrim Rock. He said, "Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and ye little ones do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. Signed, William Bradford, Plymouth Colony Governor." The words are ancient, but they ring with truth. I wonder how many of us here are thankful for the abundance of food that God has blessed us with. How many of us here have been protected from the ravages of the savages? How many of us here are thankful for a church house where we can worship God according to the dictates of our conscience? We have much to be thankful for. It has been said that the person who is no longer thankful has fallen asleep in life. I wonder if some of us perhaps have been sleepwalking lately and need to be awakened. The Holy Spirit says through the Apostle Paul that God's people are to not merely be thankful, but did you notice his language? We are to overflow with thankfulness. Overflow. Now in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, we read about 10 people, 10 men. They were 10 lepers. They were very sick. And they learned that Jesus was healing. And so they found their way to Jesus, and he healed them. And if you remember the account of the 10 lepers, after they were touched by the Lord and healed, they all walked away. They went on their merry way. But one of them returned to the Lord, and he said, "Thank you." And he praised God. And the Lord said to the man, "But where are the other 9? I wonder, are we like the 9 who've been blessed by God and have gone on our merry way? Or are we like the one who stopped in his tracks and returned to the Lord and said, "Thank you, Lord. Praise God." In Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, from which I just read, listen again to the Apostle Paul. He says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanks." Now, what stands out to me especially from that passage is the word overflowing. It literally means to overflow. It means to superabound. It means excess. And the word is a present active verb. So what Paul is saying to the Colossian Christians, be excessive in thanksgiving in the here and now. Be excessive in your thanksgiving. Not just a little bit thankful, but overflowing, superabounding. Be excessively thankful here and now. And by the way, notice in Colossians 2 here, the connection between overflowing thanks and being rooted and built up in Christ and strengthened in the faith. One of the indicators that we are growing in grace and maturing in the Lord will be thanksgiving, not just at the end of November, but throughout the year. And one of the indicators that we have stopped growing and that we're becoming stagnant is we are becoming more complaining, we are becoming more critical, and we are not very thankful. Not long ago, I read a story about a ship up in the Great Lakes. I believe it was Lake Michigan. And the ship was fairly close to shore. And it was during a storm, and the ship capsized. And it was not far from Northwestern University. And a group of students and faculty members ran out there to the shore and out into the water as best they could. And one of the men by the name of Edward Spencer rescued 17 people from that sinking ship. Well, many, many years later, Mr. Spencer had moved to Los Angeles. And it was there at a rally that was being conducted by R.A. Torrey, an evangelistic rally, that R.A. Torrey heard that the man was present in the service. He invited Mr. Spencer to come forward. And Torrey asked Mr. Spencer, who by this time was an old man, he asked him if anything stood out in his memory about that day long ago when he rescued all those people. The gentleman said, "Only this, sir. Of the 17 people I saved, not one of them thanked me." See, they all had gone on their merry way, just like those 10 lepers, but only one returned to thank Jesus. Now, the same Paul who wrote these words in Colossians 2 and said that we are to superabound with thanksgiving, we are to be excessively thankful in the here and now. As Theresa pointed out, the same Paul to the Thessalonians said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, to give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances. When things are going your way, and yes, even when things are not going your way. Paul said, give thanks. It's a deliberate choice. I choose this day, or I choose this day not to give thanks. It has been said that the measure of a life is not its duration, but its donation. The measure of your life is not how long you live, but how much you give. Giving unto others. Giving unto God, of course. And what are we donating? Or what are we giving? Are we giving more criticism and complaining? Are we giving more praise and thanksgiving? Christians are called and commanded to give thanks, not complaints, but thanks. And Paul says, give thanks in all situations, not after, but in the midst of them. I love the account of Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator. And once upon a time long ago, Matthew Henry was robbed. He was mugged. He wrote a daily journal, and he wrote these words in his journal on the day that he was robbed. He said, and I quote, "Lord, I thank you that I've never been robbed before, that although they took my money, they spared my life, that although they took everything, it wasn't much. And I thank you, Lord, that it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." Wow. There's a man overflowing with thanksgiving. Now, that doesn't mean that we go through life and are never sad or upset. Obviously, there are times when Jesus was sad and upset and even angry. And the Psalms are full of the whole range of human emotions. It's unhealthy when we do not let our emotions and give vent to them. It's healthy and natural and normal to do so. But the Bible commands us to be a thankful people, more thankful than unthankful, more positive than negative. especially as we recall all that God has done for us. Now, some of you met a couple months ago my friend Pastor Bob Harris. Pastor Bob came and did a little teaching seminar, and some of you got to spend time with him. And what you don't know about Bob, he's a multimillionaire. Many times over, you'd never know it looking at the guy. He dresses in blue jeans and Hawaiian shirts and just seems like an ordinary kind of guy. But what you don't know about Bob also is that there was a time years ago, business was doing really well, but he lost his Walmart account, 40% of his business. And about the same time, there was a glitch in his computers, and he lost nearly $1 million of sales because of some problem with his computers. About the time all this happened, Pastor Bob had discovered the biblical teaching of the sovereignty of God. He knew and came to know that God is sovereign. Nothing catches God by surprise. And he began to realize that all things in his life, including the loss of a Walmart account, including the loss or a computer glitch, including a major theft by a longtime employee, all these things somehow were being used by God for God's glory and for Pastor Bob's benefit and good. And I've never met a man who lost millions of dollars and yet could say, "Lord, I thank you and I praise you." Pastor Bob's faith at the time was much stronger than mine. And he was a man overflowing with gratitude and thanksgiving, even during the loss of millions of dollars in his business. Paul the Apostle says that we are to overflow with thanksgiving. In all circumstances, be thankful. I love these words by a Christian who said, "I'm thankful, Lord, for my taxes that I pay. I'm thankful because it means I'm still employed. I'm thankful, Lord, for the mess to clean up after the party, because it means I have been surrounded by friends. I'm thankful, Lord, for the clothes that fit a little too snug, because it means I've had plenty to eat. I'm thankful, Lord, for a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need fixing, because it means I have a home. I'm thankful for all the complaining I hear about the government, because it means we have, and I have freedom of speech. I'm thankful for the spot I find at the far end of the parking lot, because it means I'm still capable of walking." She said, "I'm thankful for the piles of laundry and ironing, because it means I have clothes to wear. I'm thankful for weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day, because it means I have been productive during the day. And I thank you for the alarm that goes off too early in the morning, because it means I'm still alive." There's a person with excessive thanksgiving in the here and now. That's what it means to overflow with gratitude. And that's not just a once a year thing. Finally, let me say, if you are here this morning and you're having a hard time in life being excessive in your thanksgiving, can I encourage you to do something? Look behind me, look to your front, and there's a gold cross. If you have trouble being thankful in life, why don't you spend some time looking at the cross? And let that cross remind you of what God in his love and mercy has done for you. God loved you so much. God loved this scoundrel Scott so much that he gave his only begotten son and allowed him to be nailed to a cross where he suffered, bled, and died there for my sins and yours. And the blood that flowed there was there to wash our sins away. If we have a hard time being excessively thankful, let's look to the cross. Let's remember what Jesus did for us as he hung there 6 hours one Friday. Long ago, a medieval poet wrote these powerful words, and I love the words. I won't read them to you in Latin. Here they are in English. "Man and woman, look on me. How much I suffered for you see. Look on my back laid bare with whips. Look on my side from which blood drips. My feet and hands are nailed upon the tree. From pricking thorns, my temples run with blood. From side to side, from head to foot, turn and turn my body about. You there shall find all over blood. 5 wounds I suffered for you, see. So turn your heart to me. My friends, let us look to the cross and behold the cross and behold our Christ, who poured out his lifeblood, who gave his life up for you and for me. We ought to be the most thankful of people, a people who are overflowing, excessively abounding, and superabounding in thanksgiving in the here and now. For God has been good to us. I thank God for this congregation. I thank God that there's no more hole in the ceiling. I thank God for the reminder today from Theresa about that donut. I'm going to be remembering that every time I drive through Dunkin' Donuts this week. I have so much to be thankful for, and I know I'm not alone. Has God been good to us? He surely has, and we thank him for it. In just a few moments, I'm going to invite you. This is stewardship season. You've been hearing a lot about that over the last few weeks. If you are here and have brought your pledge card, and if you're here and have not yet made out the pledge card, let this be a little hint. As you are reminded of how good God has been to you, and as a sign of your gratitude to the Lord, we invite you to fill out those pledge cards and say, Lord, by your grace and with your help, I'm going to commit to this amount of money to serve you or to serve people in your name, to be a difference maker here at First Presbyterian Church of Jacksonville, Florida, because I have been saved by God's grace through faith in Christ, and I'm grateful to my Lord and Savior. Lord, here's a sign of my gratitude. We're going to invite you to come forward in just a few moments with those pledge cards as we sing our closing hymn. And at this time, I want to invite little Casey Odell, and I believe one of his sisters is coming with him. And they're going to stand up front here, and they're going to hold our stewardship pledge box. And while they're doing that, we're going to invite you, as you sing our closing hymn today, as we sing, to come place your pledge card in this little box. As you look at these children, and remember, they are not just the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today. And we thank God for them. We thank God for you. We thank God for all that he has done through our Lord Jesus. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me? Let's pray to the Lord. Our Father and our God, we are a grateful people, for you've been mighty good to us. And Lord, we are overflowing with thanksgiving today. Help us to superabound, to be excessively grateful in the here and now. And Lord, out of our gratitude, we're going to give unto you and to the work in the name of Christ. And we thank you, God. May you multiply these gifts. And may we continue to make a difference for the kingdom of God, serving the poor, helping those in need, spreading the good news, the gospel. Lord, doing all of this and more in the wonderful name of Jesus, who died upon the cross for us, even as we say, amen.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, loved me and birthed
Be thou my bread.
breastplate, my sword for the fight. Be thou my armor, and be thou my might. Be my soul's shelter, and thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenwards, O power of my power. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. I keep victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of mine own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
We trust you enjoyed today's message by Pastor Scott Luckey. For additional messages and resources, you may visit the website at www.fpcjacks.org. First Presbyterian Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-believing, mission-minded church in the heart of downtown Jacksonville, Florida, located at 118 East Monroe Street. You're welcome to join us for services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m.
Have been listening to Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.